सेवया
नित्यं भागवत सेवया
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय
देवकी नंदनाय च
देवकी नंदनाय च
तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्रीराधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा. सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू टुडेज सत्संग प्रोग्राम. फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू थैंक हिज ग्रेस बहुरूप नरसिंह प्रभु फॉर गिविंग मी दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू सर्व इन दिस वे. So I would like to seek blessings of their Lordship Shri Shri Ramadhav, Radha Madhav, Shri Narasimhadev, Panchatattva, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, and also blessings of His Holiness Japataka Swami Maharaj, and also blessings of all the senior assembled devotees here who are sitting in front of me. Indeed, I am like a student of theirs. You know, all of you are my teachers, but there is a service and opportunity So I am sitting here in front of you. So also there is an instruction from His Grace Sachidananda Govinda Prabhu to switch off the mobile. So it will be very nice if all the devotees can switch off or put it on a silent mode. Prabhuji always actually reminds me of few things which I tend to forget. And one thing again which I reminded, which we came to one time and told me, that please tell this point, this is very important. So I will tell again, that whenever we come to this association of devotees, what should be our mood? Our mood should be that of a patient who goes to the hospital and not of a tourist who goes to the hotel. What is the difference? There is a gulf of difference. A person who goes to a hotel, he goes for entertainment. He thinks that I have given some money and in return I want some pleasure, some entertainment. So that is the mood. But a patient who goes to the hospital, he is very, very desperate. He knows that I am not in a good condition of life, I am in a diseased condition, and I am approaching a hospital, I am approaching a doctor, so that the doctor can cure my disease. So we should also approach devotees association in this mood, that the Lord Krishna is the supreme doctor. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are our prescription given by Lord Sri Krishna, who is the supreme doctor. And the devotees, you know, they actually treat us very, very nicely. So this is very, very important. So whenever we come, we should have this mood. Also, I would like to welcome all the devotees who have come for the first time and the regular devotees, and particularly to my colleague Amar and his good wife Madhuri, who has come. And also I would like to seek blessings of Jadurani Mataji, who is one of the most senior sitting in this association. So one more thing, that why we are doing this katha or this class is so that, you know, we can purify our heart. There are many anarthas accumulated in the heart. So the purpose of this class is twofold. One is to purify our heart, and second is to attract the heart of Lord Krishna, so that we can attract by our little endeavor. So with this note, we will start on today's topic, which is very, very nice topic. And I thank Shiv Kumar Prabhu for suggesting this topic. And since it is a hall program, we have not suggested any sloka of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam for today's topic. And I am very sorry to all my Hindi friends that today I have to speak in English, because this topic better can be presented in English. So please forgive me for that. So this lecture, I would like to first make a disclaimer, is actually not my effort at all, because in other lectures we prepare something, but this lecture is actually given by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu, who is disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So he has given this topic to the youths in Bombay, and we have just borrowed this everything from him. So whatever is in the class is the effort of Gauranga Prabhu, and if you like this class, please thank Gauranga Prabhu. And if there is any shortcoming, that is because of me. So Gauranga Prabhu starts this lecture with a note, saying that there was an age called Golden Age, Satya Yuga, where people were very, very dedicated to God. You know, they will practically give everything to the God. So whatever they earn, everything is offered to the God. Then the next Yuga came. In that, what they did, that they drew a circle on the ground, and then they threw money in the air. Whatever falls in the circle belongs to God, whatever falls outside belongs to us. Then came the next age, where they drew a line and again threw the money in the air. Whatever falls right side of the line belongs to God, whatever falls on the left hand side belongs to us. And now is the age which is Kali Yuga. We throw the money in the air and say, God catch you, God catch if you can. So whatever God can catch belongs to him, whatever falls on the ground belongs to us. So he said that this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, where everything is deteriorating in the material world. And also, if the God has played cricket, maybe he'll catch something. Otherwise everything belongs to us. So God have to learn cricket to catch our money. So today's topic is of great importance. And as Gauranga Prabhu also says, that please pay kind attention to this topic, because this will bring some paradigm shift in our mind, and whatever concept of pleasure we have in our life may undergo a change. So this topic is divided into five subtopics. We will discuss the following, that who is the one who is hunting for pleasure, number one. Second, why do we hunt for pleasure? And third, how do we hunt for the pleasure? Fourthly, what is our experience in this hunt? And fourth is conclusion, or what is the real pleasure? So let us start with straight away with first topic, who. Basically this the presentation will go as who, why, how and what. This question will be answered. So who is the one hunting for pleasure? The answer is everyone. Every living entity, every soul in this world, or anyone who is conditioned in this 8.4 million species of life is hunting for pleasure. They have only one aim in life, one goal in life, pleasure. Increasing one's pleasure and decreasing one's miseries. Therefore, if in shortcut, if it is said that who is the one who is searching for the pleasure? Everyone. Like Prabhupada writes in his books that as soon as the morning is there, you know, the birds, they get up and they start asking, where is the food, where is the food, where is the pleasure? So everyone, you know, there is a question and answer. The question is asked, how to find the pleasure? And then there is an answer. So question answer is going on. Everyone, every living entity, every single soul is actually searching for pleasure. So the answer is everyone is hunting for this pleasure. And if you look at the meaning of hunt in dictionary, it is said to seek, to find out. So everyone is actually in the process of seeking or finding out the pleasure. And the pleasure is defined as the state of great satisfaction and joy. And all of us want to maximize our joy and pleasure. Is there anyone in the hall sitting who can claim that, no, I don't want pleasure, I want only pain only? You know, there are very few examples in the scriptures who have prayed like that, like Kunti Maharani. She says that, let the calamities fall again and again, again and again. But we can't pray like that. If a small calamity falls upon us, we forget everything actually. You know, we even forget that we are trying to become a devotee. You know, our whole focus actually goes on that disease only or that calamity. And sometimes we blame God that why you have put this calamity. I am actually trying to be devotee. I am applying tilak, wearing dhoti kurta. No, I am chanting your rounds. I am associating with devotees. I am only eating prasad. So Prabhupada said that don't think that even after becoming a devotee, you know, miseries will not come. The calamities will not come. It will come definitely. But a person who is not connected to Krishna definitely does not have any idea, because he does only one thing. Hunting for pleasure. Some people might be consciously doing it, or some people might be doing unconsciously, but the fact remains that everyone is searching for pleasure. So this gives answer to the first question. The second question is, why do we hunt? Vedanta Sutra explains that the soul is anandamayo bhyasat. Now the soul is by nature sat chit anand. It is pleasure seeking. The eternal nature of the soul is that it is all blissful, and therefore everyone is actually searching for pleasure. And because we are actually engaged, you know, encaged in this body, and there is a covering of this body, so we are unable to experience and enjoy. Still, that hunt is there. We are always searching. It is like that, you know, the example is given that it is like moon covered by a cloud, which cannot actually show its effulgence. It can show only its diffused rays. But a moon in the clear sky will show its full luminosity. So the soul is all blissful, eternal and full of knowledge. But we can't experience all these things because we are covered with gross body and the influence of subtle body. So depending upon the kind of body we have, we experience pleasure in certain activities. Like if you give a gulab jamun to pig, he will not eat. Actually one devotee tried. He gave and he didn't eat. So he said, yes, whatever Prabhupada says is correct. So the pig will not eat, because pig's food is something different. Whatever is left over by humans is eaten by pig. So pig enjoys that kind of food because he is in that pigly body. So if a person is a particular body, his enjoyment will be like we have that story of Puna Mushaka Bhava, you know, that girl who falls in the one small mice falls in the lap of Rishi, then he converts into a beautiful girl. And then there is a marriageable age, so he calls Surya Dev, then mountain, then Pavan Dev, everyone, and she rejects. And finally, you know, she sees a mouse, a rat, and she says, oh, I want to marry. Because she was actually of that mentality. So, you know, whatever body we have, we want to enjoy that. You know, sometimes looking at cockroach, we don't get attracted. You know, but But he cockroach will get attracted by looking at she cockroach. You know, he will actually sing poetries about that she cockroach. So this depends upon the body we have. But the fact remains that the soul is Anandamaya Vyasa, and this answers to the second question, why do we hunt? Second is, how do we hunt? You know, this is the third question, and majority of the part of the class will be focused on this, that how do we hunt for pleasure? What is the means or ways we employ in finding this pleasure? Hare Krishna Guruji. So on a physical platform, there are four levels or four ways in which we search for the pleasure, and these levels are actually increasing in nature, meaning one higher than the other, it goes like that. And we have graded in this way, as Gaurang Prabhu says, because the intensity of the experience of pleasure is higher as we go further. So at the lowest level we have a pleasure called sense pleasure. Sense pleasure means that the pleasure which is derived from eyes, nose, tongue, ear and skin. We employ all these things and we enjoy, like there are so many examples, we'll not go deep into the, because it is not the subject matter, but the fish, because of uncontrollable tongue, it gets caught. Elephant, because of the skin, it gets caught. Then a deer, because of its ear, gets caught because of the hunter, and things like that. And we see that eyes want to see something beautiful, ears want to hear something wonderful. Why? Because it is our nature that we want to enjoy nice things with our senses. Why is it that everyone wants to stay in a clean place, in a posh locality, in a very, very nice place? Because eyes want to see something very, very beautiful. And why is it that we want to hear our glorification, every time? Because the ear wants to get engaged with some positive vibrations. So therefore, if somebody criticizes, we don't like. But if somebody glorifies, we like it. So we, so this is the pleasure which we derive from the senses. And Prabhu was saying that the most intense in all of this pleasure is the pleasure of skin, meaning the sex pleasure. He said that where the whole skin is employed, all the senses are employed, and whole material world is running based on this principle of sex pleasure. And this pleasure is so powerful, so intense, so stimulating, that even the great powerful kings have been survived to their imprint pulses. They have actually managed to defeat whole kingdom. They have managed to defeat the whole armies. They have conquered, the greatest kingdoms, but they have actually fallen the victim of their senses because of their lusty desires. And there are innumerable examples in the history which is given. And Prabhu quotes one example, that once there was a king, his name was King Bhartrihari. He was very, very powerful king. He had a very beautiful wife, and he was completely infatuated by her beauty. Indeed, it is said that he had composed 100 verses glorifying the beauty, and this 100 verses are known as Shringara Shatak. So the concept of making century is not new. People used to make century in poetry also. So he wrote this 100 verses glorifying her beauty, and he was so much attached and infatuated by her beauty. And one day one sadhu came to his kingdom and gave one very nice beautiful jewel to him, and he told that, please give this jewel to someone you are most attracted to whom you love the most, with whom you are most infatuated with. And immediately the king took that jewel, gave it to his wife. Several days passed, he was sitting in his courtroom, and one very nice, beautiful looking woman came in the court, and he gave this jewel to this king Bhartrihari. The king was surprised and shocked. He said, what is this? This is the same jewel I gave to my wife. How come this jewel has landed in this girl's hand, this lady's hand? How did this woman get it? And then he sat and started pondering upon the whole episode, what had happened. And he got the answer. And when he got the answer, he again wrote a very beautiful verse. या चिंतयामि सततम् मैसा विरक्ता सचान्यमिच्छति जना सजनो निरक्त अस्मत् कृते च परिताशित्वा चितन्या dhiktam cha tam cha madanam cha imam cha mam cha. He came to this conclusion that I have been infatuated with and attached to this beautiful woman, and I was always thinking about her. Ya chintayami satatam, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, satatam chintayanto mam, that always think of me. But this king was always thinking of his wife, and he told ya chintayami satatam, I was infatuated by her beauty, and I was thinking that she loves me the most, and therefore I gave this beautiful jewel to her. But she was maisa virakta, she was totally detached from me, and she was loving somebody else. So he said that as soon as she came to know that this jewel has to be given to somebody whom you love the most, she took it from me and gave it to her paramour. She gave to that other man to whom she was loving, and she was thinking that that man loves her the most, but he was not at all attached to her. He said that such a anyam ichchati jana, she was actually thinking and meditating upon some other male, some other her paramour, but sa janoni anya rakta, he was actually totally detached from my wife, and he was actually thinking of somebody else. And that man gave that jewel to some other lady, and that lady was not at all attached to him, she was loving somebody else. And that lady gave that jewel to somebody else, and that fellow actually was not attached to that woman, and he gave it to somebody else. So like this, the jewel actually passed hands. Thank you. So this jewel actually passed one hand in another hand. Asmat krite cha pari tushiti kachi danya. It went in hand, and finally landed in the hand of this woman who came to my courtroom, who gave the jewel to me, and she was loving the most. She was loving me the most, and I was not aware of. So he thought that what is this going on, you know? This episode, the jewel is actually passing from one hand to another hand, and everyone is thinking that he loves me the most, she loves me the most, he loves me the most, he loves me the most, but nobody was actually loving to anybody at all. And finally this prostitute gave me, and then he actually put his hand on his head, and he said, dhiktam cha tam cha madanam cha imam cha mam cha. He said, dhiktam cha. He said that to hell with my wife who betrayed me, to whom I was very much attached and infatuated with, and tamcha, and to hell with that fellow who betrayed my wife. So he said that to hell with my wife, you know, that I was thinking that she loves me the most, but she was loving somebody else the most, and dhik tamcha tamcha, to hell with that fellow who betrayed my wife, and madanamcha, he said, to hell with Kamadev, to hell with lust, who actually made fool of all of us, and dhik tamcha tamcha madanamcha imamcha, he said, to hell with this episode. You know, because of us, all of us in this circle got fooled up. Dhiktam cha tam cha madanam cha imam cha mam cha. And he said, to hell with me also, because it all started with me. So Gaurang Prabhu said that this was an another era. So even in frustration, nice beautiful poetry can come out. But if, like, you know, if it is in today's world, then there will be, you know, so much of violence and anger, and everything will prevail. Like, you know, in Hindi movie they say that agar tu meri nahi ho saki to kisi aur ki bhi nahi ho paegi, like that, something like that, you know. So everyone will actually, you know, try to kill someone. But he said that even though he was such a nice cultured gentleman, that even in his frustration he write a nice beautiful poetry, and this verse became the first verse in the next series of 100 verses which he wrote, and named it Vairagya Shatak. So first he made one century, which was Shringara Shatak. Then he made another century, which was Vairagya Shatak. And he totally became detached, and he understood that the sense pleasure is not the goal of life. So this is one pleasure, and above sense pleasure, the second thing is, the higher than sense pleasure is the pleasure of mind, which is mental pleasure. And Prabhu was saying that all kind of entertainment and sports come in this category, which gives pleasure to the mind. Like, for example, the poets, they write poetry, and when they are writing poetry and they are involved in that, they forget about eating, sleeping and all this thing. So that proves that this pleasure is higher than sense pleasure, because they actually ignore their senses also. And artists, sometimes when they draw pictures, they forget everything for hours and hours and hours. They just go on painting. Or some people watching sports, Prabhu gives this nice example. He says that because our mind is into it, the mind is seeking the pleasure, we enjoy the games like anything. And a person who is too much too much attached to suppose football game and that final is going on in the World Cup and somebody comes and gives him nice samosa, he'll say, no, no, not now, you know, let me concentrate, focus, just, you know, he will be so much absorbed, involved in that, that he'll forget everything, he will not attend even his calls also, or sometimes he'll not go to office, he'll say, no, no, let me watch this movie, because he is actually so much absorbed in that movie, in that game, and he's into the game, but a person who does not know what is football game, and he is not so much interested in that, he is not into the game, he will think, why 22 people are running after one ball? No, give one ball to everyone. What is the problem? You know, but he will not understand that why a person who likes the game, he is into the game, he is inside the game so much that he forgets everything. So this is what, you know, the mental pleasure gives, and all kind of, you know, watching movies and all this thing falls in this category. Above the mental pleasure is intellectual pleasure. So we discussed about sense pleasure, then mental pleasure. Now we coming to intellectual pleasure. And he says that some people, they take pleasure from their intellect. They are very, very intelligent. And we must have seen that, you know, two people playing chess. You know, they put up the board and, you know, start playing the game. And if we see that they are gazing the chess board with such an intensity, with greater concentration than any yogi also. You know, the yogi cannot actually concentrate on tip of the nose, but they will gaze with the board with such an intensity that, you know, there have been movies also made where, you know, for 2 hours, 3 hours, they are sitting in one posture looking at the chess board, and, you know, in the mind it is going on what is the next step, as if they are frozen. So you come after 2 hours, they are in the same position. It is said that sometimes even devotees are not able to chant sitting in one posture for hours together initially. No, so they are so intense. So what gives them so much of pleasure that just by their intellect, you know, they are focusing on that. Or the another example he gave is like somebody is working on computer program or on a mathematical equation. So a person is so absorbed that actually he'll forget everything. And he is just constantly, like I have one devotee friend, he was saying that when they will make software program, you know, for days together they will work on that, you know, weeks, months sometimes, and they will forget everything else. So this is intellect pleasure. And Gauranga Prabhu gave one very nice example. He said that there was one very famous engineer in 1963 in America. This incident happened. His name was John Roebling, and he decided to build a bridge over Manhattan River. He wanted to connect New York to Manhattan. And he conceived this idea that I want to make this bridge, which is very, very long. And when he started talking to other engineers, nobody paid attention. They said, what is this? This is, you know, something which cannot be done. This is a outlined idea. So he convinced his son, Washington Roebling. And his son got convinced and he said that, yes, there is a concept. We have conceptualized this idea. Let us make this bridge. So they started working on it with few engineers. And after a few years, there is a major crash which happens on the site, and John Roebling dies in that crash, and Washington Roebling is left with crippling head injuries. He is totally paralyzed, and then all the engineers, they become inert and they say that we can't make this bridge because only father and son knew what is going on. The father has gone and the son is about to die, so now we cannot do anything, and they all forget. But Washington Roebling, just see the power of his intelligence. He is so much infatuated, his intelligence is so much inspired that he says, no, I will actually build this bridge. So what he does, he starts developing a code of communication with his wife, you know, by movement of his finger very, very gently. So he taps the hand of his wife and starts communicating. And when the wife is fully conversant with the code of communication he employs, then she starts transmitting the messages to other engineers. And all the engineers actually, they work upon it, and then after a decade, after 10 years, this Manhattan Bridge is completed. So this is the power of intelligence, that a person who is totally paralyzed, who cannot even speak, he is just by his power of intelligence, he can actually make this miracle. Then the higher than intelligent pleasure is the pleasure of ego, because it is very, very subtle. And we have seen that many people, you know, they want to go and conquer the Mount Everest, they go to Himalayas. And they, you know, they have this ego, yes, we have conquered this peak, we have conquered this mountain. You know, we have done something in life, we have achieved something. We have created some kind of revolution. And they have this feeling of achievement, which is higher than the sense pleasure, which is higher than the mental pleasure, which is higher than the intellectual pleasure. Because they take so much of risk know, the risk of the life going to Mount Everest is not so easy. It's very, very difficult. But still, you know, people employ. So these are some ways, you know, by sense, by mental, by intelligent and by ego, that we want to acquire pleasure on the physical and subtle level. But the thing is to understand that this all pleasure is on the bodily level. And therefore, we have to understand that what is our experience when we try to obtain this kind of pleasure. So the first experience which Prabhu has said is the pursuit of any pleasure, number one, it is painful. Abhinav, this looks contradictory, that how come the pursuit of pleasure be painful? Like, you know, we are actually trying to acquire pleasure, but how acquiring pleasure can be painful? You know, it looks contradictory. But the example is given that the pain and pleasure, they are like twins. They are like two sides of the same coin. You know, we can't have one without other. As soon as we get pleasure, you know, there is bound to be some pain. And the example is given in Bhagavad Gita. Ye hi samsparsh ja bhoga dukhyo ne ya evate adyantvanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that any pleasure which arises of the contact between the senses and the sense object is the source of potential misery. It is like nectar in the beginning but poison in the end. Dukh yone yevate. Just like there is a coin, there is a head and there is tail. So if we take coin, we have to take both the things. We can't avoid. We can't say that we will have coin only with head or only with tail. It is actually inseparable. It is part of the package. It is said that when you acquire pleasure, misery follows. It is actually a package gift, you know, that you acquire pleasure, material world will give you pain also. It's a gift offer given by, and the example is given of a dog who is walking on the road and there is a lamp post, there is a lamp light, and he sees his reflection and he thinks, oh, this is some other creature who is trying to attack me. So he tries to run away from it, but that creature is also running along, and then he thinks and looks at him and waves his tail. So that shadow also waves the tail. So he gets bewildered and shouts, boom! So that shadow also actually shouts. So he says, oh my god, this is some powerful animal, you know, who's trying to attack me. Why? Because shadow looks bigger. You know, when we see at the shadow, it looks bigger, and then the dog is actually running. But it is said that one cannot run away from its shadow. We cannot run away from our own shadow. So when we are trying to enjoy pleasure, pain is also there. So the pursuit of acquiring pleasure, number one, is painful. Because Krishna has said that this material world is like an ocean, you know, which is full of faults. And having fallen in this ocean, we cannot avoid water. No, we have to become wet. Because since we are in the swimming pool, we are in the ocean. And this world, he has stamped it as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Who knows the product better than one who manufactures it? Who knows the product better than its creator? Krishna has created this world, he has stamped it Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So a person, like for example, if somebody manufactures washing machine, he knows in and out of washing machine that what my product is. And suppose they advertise that please take this washing machine, very beautiful washing machine, we give 50% discount. And some of the advantage of this washing machine is when you put your cloth in the washing machine, it will be chopped into pieces. You know, then when you put your hand there, you will get some electric shock. If you are lucky, you will get smaller shock, but shock is guaranteed. If you put water, it will erupt into flames, or it will, you know, the steam will come out. And he is shouting on top of his lung, but please take this machine, very beautiful, 50% discount. How many of us will take? Nobody will take that machine. You know, we might be laughing, but the material world is exactly like that. Krishna has made this material world, and he has told, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukh Doshanu Darshanam Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Everything he has said, but still we try to enjoy in this material world. And then, when there is a pleasure, there is associated pain. And the second question, when we talk of pleasure, comes, how much pleasure and for how long? You know, even if there is some pleasure in sense enjoyment, but how much we are getting the pleasure and for how long? And the example is given, a cow which is tied with a rope in a pole, it can actually go to that vicinity only. You know, what is the length of the rope? It cannot go beyond. The cow may be able to see all the greenery on all the sides, but he cannot enjoy. So we are actually bound by the rope of our karma. You know, our karma actually bounds. So even if we are put in some situation, how much can we enjoy? Or how long we can enjoy? For example, he gave example of one person, Mr. Shetty. He owns 5 restaurants, one of the biggest hoteliers in Bombay. So he said that when he came to Bombay first time, he was very, very poor and started working as a hotel boy. And he will like batata vada very much. So this person will think that, you know, I like this batata vada. And sometimes he will steal batata vada to eat it. And he will actually wonder that when will I get so much of wealth that I can actually eat batata vadas unlimitedly. Then he became very powerful person, had so many restaurants, batata vadas actually manufactured in his restaurant. But then he got diabetes and other disease. And doctor said, come on, you cannot eat batata vadas like this, stop it. So everything was there, but he cannot do. No, like it's like a dog who has lost all his teeth and having bone. You know, how much can you suck? There is no teeth inside, you can't enjoy. So the fact of matter is that we are struggling to find out the pleasure, but we don't get pleasure. And the only satisfaction which we get is sometimes we don't get pleasure, so we try to reduce our miseries. And then we share notes, okay, I am less miserable than him, at least I am, you know, happy. I have this pleasure. So one time one patient went to a doctor, made his checkup, and doctor told that there is one good news for you and one bad news. What do you want to hear? He said, okay, first tell me bad news only. So he said, the bad news is that you have cancer and you will die in 3 years. He got shocked. He said, then what is the good news? You know, if I am going to die, what is the good news? He said, the good news is that along with this cancer, you have Alzheimer's disease. That means you will forget everything after 3 months that you have cancer. So be happy, enjoy your life. So with this, so our condition is also like that, that actually misery is awaiting us. We are miserable, but we have lost our memory. Now we are thinking, okay, at least, you know, let it go on. And the same thing, Yudhishthira Maharaj also tells, when Dharmaraj asks him that what is the most amazing, most wonderful thing in this material world, and he quotes, Ahani hanani bhutani gachanti yamalayam shesa sthavaram ichanti ki mascharyata param. He says that everyone is dying and going to the abode of Yamaraj, but the shesa sthavaram ichanti, the remaining people who are there, they ichanti, you know, they think that I am not going to die anytime. So misery is awaiting, you know, it's just 1 foot away, but still, you know, we are going on. So the number one, it is painful. So this is P, remember. The second is that A, it is addicting. Number two, the pursuit of pleasure, it is addicting, and we have repeated experiences, but still we want again and again. So Narad Muni, he tells in Srimad Bhagavatam, etat adyatur chittanam matra sparshaya iccha muhu bhavasindu palo drishto haricharya anuvarnanam. He says that matra sparsh iccha muhu, that this material pleasure is addicting in nature. One becomes selfish, and at the cost of giving pain to others, you know, he tries to enjoy, and one becomes complete slave of its conditioning. Meaning, I am addicted to something, so I want to enjoy, no matter if other person is suffering. But till the time I want to enjoy, like some people, you know, they want to get promoted, so they will push down some other people and, you know, get up. We have this crab, you know, crab, if they are put in one tub, you know, if one crab tries to go, you know, the other will pull down actually, and he wants to go. So at the cost of somebody else, he wants to progress. But what it becomes slave of its conditioning, and the slave is always miserable. He gave an example that a person, he was addicted to gambling, and he will invest in share market, and he will do buying, selling. He was a compulsory gambler. So one time he went to meet his friend, and his friend was not well, he had flu. So he said that I am sick, my temperature today is more by 4 degrees, it has gone up by 4 degrees, what should I do? And he said, sell it. Whatever goes up, sell it, whatever comes down, buy it. That is what was going on in his mind. So he said that, okay, the fever has gone up, sell it. So there are ways which we want to come out. And you know, sometimes we want to be inclined, but we are so attached, so addicted, so involved in that we just think from that perspective only. Like Gaurang Prabhu gave an example. He was preaching in Goa, and he was saying that we should do this chanting in the early morning and all this thing. So one student got up and he told, but Prabhuji, why we should chant early in the morning? You know, why not in the afternoon or in the night? Why the spiritual activities has to go on so early in the morning? Why you have to torture yourself so much, you know, that you have to chant in the morning? Relax, take your own time, enjoy your life. What is this? Why you are chanting in the early in the morning? So Gaurang Prabhu said, okay, you sit down. You seem to be a person of this, from this world. You tell me one thing, do you go for parties? He said, yes, of course. He said, what time your party starts? He said, 9-10 o'clock in the night. He said, why not early in the morning, 5 o'clock? So he said, come on, what are you talking here? You know, party maja nahi aayega. You know, it has to be in the evening only. He said, suppose, you know, you want to start your New Year party, 5 o'clock in the morning. Early morning, you take your bath and everyone assembles for the party. How many people will come? Nobody. Because this activity by nature is tamasic. You know? So therefore, it has to be done in the night only. And this activity, which is beyond the modes of material nature, which are, you know, beyond, it is supta sattva actually. So this activity needs to be done in the morning. But still, people are so much attached that they make so much of excuses. Like at other place, Gauranga Prabhu, I had spoken this before also, he was speaking and he was telling that we should do early morning chanting. And chanting early morning is like making direct call. He said that before, you know, we used to have STD calls. So before 7 o'clock in the morning, you have half the rate. After 9 o'clock, it's half the rate. So he said that in the morning, you have half rate. So therefore, you should chant in the morning. It actually gets connected. So one student told, but Prabhuji, in the evening also, we have half rate. Why not chant in the evening? That is also half rate. So he said, but in the evening, the line is busy. In the morning, line is actually, you know, direct. You can actually just get connected. So some people, they have so much of, you know, ideas to give that, and we are addicted to one kind of lifestyle, so it is very, very difficult to change that lifestyle. So when we tell somebody, you know, please come to satsang program, no, very, very difficult. You can't convince somebody. And thirdly, so this was addictive. Thirdly, as far as pleasure is concerned, it is also risky, R. So it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. What is the meaning? It said that Tamo Dwaram, running after the sense pleasure is so risky that there is a risk of falling into hell. Srimad Bhagavatam says that there is a risk of going into hellish condition of life, Tamo Dwaram, that you know you go and it is Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktus Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam, that we have obtained this human form of life which is very, very rare. Like, you know, we have discussed before also that out of 84 million species of life, only 4 lakh are human being. Most of them are actually nomad, you know, they don't know. And, you know, if you filter, there are many, very, very few people who are actually sane. And in those sane people, you know, there are very few who are actually attached for God consciousness. And out of that also, very, very few people understand Bhagavad Gita and they come and surrender to Krishna. So it is very, very difficult. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschid yatat siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam yoti tattvata. Krishna says that hardly somebody actually can come to me. So having obtained this human form of life, there is a risk that we can actually fall into the ditch of hellish planet. We can go down to the lower species of life. And in human life only, there is a facility given where we can understand God. No other species of life has this facility. Only in human form we can understand who is God, who am I, why we are suffering, what is our relationship with God, and we can meditate among God. So the example is also given that if you want to lick honey, it is all right. But if the honey is coated on a razor's edge and somebody tells you to lick the honey, what will be our condition? Number one, it is very risky. We will get taste of honey, but along with that, you know, there is a risk. And then we try to lick honey, we get mixed taste. And then we wonder, what kind of taste I am getting? Is it original honey? Looks like desi honey. You know, it's not imported. Why I am getting this kind of taste? Look at the mirror. You have some cut, you know, in the tongue. So when we are licking the honey which is actually coated on razor's edge, which is, you know, trying to enjoy pleasure with material senses, is like that. And then Prabhu was saying that when you try to enjoy honey like this, you know, material pleasure is sweet in the beginning, but it is poison in the end, so you will get cut. So anyone, however powerful he may be, you know, he will get cut. No if, no but. You know, whatever it is there, if you try to lick from a razor's edge, you will get cut. But then he said that many, many people, they argue that, sir, I have no problem. Even though I may be doing all this thing, I do my puja also. I have my puja room, I have my altar, I have my God, I have my this, I have my Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all I have. So I have a parallel account. I have opened two transaction account. You know, in one account, I will go on sinning. In another account, I will accumulate piety, and then I will pass one entry, you know, which will actually contra-entry, which will, you know, reflect everything. So don't tell me all these things, sir. I have another account, and I am doing my aarti, Jai Jagadish Hare. And Gaurang Prabhu said this example. He said that in India, you know, many people, you know, they do this aarti, Jai Jagadish Hare. But, you know, our focus is on the TV because some match is going on. And he said, Are, 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 India Hare. Pakistan se India Hare. Jai Jagadish Hare. And the eyes are looking there in the TV. The ears are somewhere else. Our hands are moving like this direction. We are all over the place. And we don't know. And some people said that, son, you know, I am prepared. Don't worry. You know, I have my religion. I am Hindu. I am coming. You know, I am ready, equipped with doing my sins. Don't tell me anything. I am Hindu. So Gaurang Prabhu said, you know, what is Hindu? Hindu means he can do anything. Hindu means you can go on doing anything. You can go on sinning. There is no bindu. There is no full stop. There is no bindu. You can go on doing anything, and then you do, you know, your religion. And then some people actually have this idea, and they are seriously convinced of this, that I can do going sin, but I can do some piety also. So this mundane piety or mundane religion will not work. And he gave an example that there was one sadhu who had one horse. And this horse, a very religious, magical horse. And then that sadhu had trained this horse, and you know, he had taught two mantras to this horse. One was, when you want to start the horse, you say, thank God, and the horse will start running. And when you want to stop, you say, save me, the horse will stop. So one person, he comes to jungle, he is lost, comes to this sadhu and says, sir, I have lost in the jungle, I want to go out, can you please help me? He said, yes, I have one horse with me, and it is very magical horse, it is a religious horse. Just said to this two mantra, thank God, it will start, if you want to stop, say, save me. So this person becomes very happy, oh, magical horse, sits on that and says, thank God. And you know, the horse starts on a slow note, and the horse starts running. So he becomes very ecstatic. He said, wow, thank God, the horse runs, thank God, horse runs, thank God, thank God, thank God. He's saying, and horse is running. And in his ecstasy, he forgets what is the second mantra. So then he says, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. And the horse is running. And he is actually experiencing the calamity now, which is going to come, that, you know, the horse is not stopping. And then he is not understanding, and he shouts, thank God. The horse actually jumps in the air, and, you know, goes, and actually comes on the edge of a mountain. So when he comes on the edge of a mountain, he thinks, my God, what is happening? And he's so bewildered that he is not able to remember the second mantra, and he's just 1 foot away from the cliff of the mountain, and he's just about to fall, and suddenly somehow he remembers, God save me. And the horse is very obedient. Immediate break. The horse stops there, and after the horse stops, this fellow gets so much of relief, he shouts, thank God. So, you know, we don't have to tell what happened. So this is what happens to religious horse. You know, we have our religion, we have our puja, we have our archana, we are doing. We say, I belong to this path, I belong to that path, I go here, I go there, I do this. You know, Thursday I go there, Friday I go there, Saturday I go, Sunday I don't do anything. I just enjoy. So there is a risk of losing our human form of life. That having obtained this human form of life, if we don't understand seriously what is spirituality, then, you know, same way the horse fall, we can also fall in the cliff. And therefore, he said that simply remembering few mantras, few pujas, knowing some kind of religion is not sufficient. One has to be systematically trained in spirituality. We have to learn from the authorities. The process has to be accepted with faith from spiritual authority and the scriptures, and we have to follow. And when we speak of faith, some people say, oh, I am scientific, don't speak to me of faith. Everything I believe through scientific eyes only. And Gaurang Prabhu says, first of all, tell me how many people know science. You know, that too in India. You know, very, very few. And those who want to become scientific, they are just obtaining the degree so that they can earn money. वंस द डिग्री हैज कम, साइंस मतलब अपने को क्या जाता है, मेरे को कुछ नहीं करने का, आई वांट डिग्री. एंड ही गेव दिस नाइस एग्जांपल व्हिच इवन दयाराम प्रभु के, ही सेड दैट व्हेन दे वर एक्चुअली स्टडिंग इन आईआईटी दे वर डूइंग सम एक्सपेरिमेंट, फाइंड द वैल्यू ऑफ एक्सेलरेशन ड्यू टू ग्रेविटी, द वैल्यू ऑफ जी विच यूज टू बी 9.8. ही सेड एटलीस्ट व्हेन ही वॉज स्टडिंग इट वॉज 9.8 दैट टाइम. एंड दे विल डू द एक्सपेरिमेंट एंड समवन विल गेट, इंस्टेड ऑफ 9.8 somebody will get 13, somebody will get 20, somebody will get 50, somebody will get 108. He said that auspicious as per spiritual standard, but far away, you know, from 9.8. So one time one person was actually doing experience and he got something like 10.6 and he started shouting, oh, I have done the experiment perfectly. You know, I have full faith that this experiment is perfect. I am perfect. I have done all this thing perfect. The value is 10.6. So all the students said, hey, Newton se bhi bada ho gaya kya? You have become bigger than Newton? Shut up. What is this? Whatever value you get, ultimately you surrender to 9.8. Bring it back to 9.8. Because rather than our own experiment, we have greater faith in those authorities, in those Mahajanas. Newton Maharaj ki. So therefore, in the field of religion, in the field of science also, now who says that we are totally scientific? He said, bogus. He said, you have faith more in the books. Whatever written in the book, you accept it. So in the religion also, when we put faith, like one time, one person came to Srila Prabhupada and told that, Swamiji, why do you call your Krishna consciousness as science? It seems it's only a belief. And Prabhupada said, your so-called science is also a belief. So he said, but Swamiji, we can prove. So Prabhupada said, then prove life comes from matter. He said that you cannot prove this. Therefore, your science also remains a belief. So when you can call your belief a science, our way is also science. He said that at least we have, you know, like Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, it is written by Krishna, it is given thousands of years ago, or maybe 5,000 years back, Krishna said, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, it is continuing. No, there is no change, it is constant, truthful. So, this is that material world is very, very risky. The fourth point we see there, that material pleasure is illusory, that it is illusory in nature. Sa itham nirjit kakuba ek rat vishyan priyan yathop jasham bhunjano natra tipta ajitendriya. He said that Hiranyakashipu had practically conquered the whole material world, but he was not satisfied. Why? Because he had not conquered his senses. He had conquered everything, therefore actually he could not control his son Prahlad Maharaj. And he said that simply by amassing the objects one cannot satisfy, and for satisfaction you need sense control. So this material pleasure is illusory in nature, and uncontrolled senses, he said, means misery and lack of peace. This is the law, whether we understand it today or tomorrow. And he said that why this material pleasure is illusory? Because it is mental also. Because it is mental, it is illusory. And he gave a very nice example. He said, suppose a very nice feast has been prepared, chhappan bhog has been prepared, and you are eating it. Now you are starting with your favorite items, and somebody comes to you and tells, yaar, tu university exam mein fail ho gaya yaar. Tu kha raha hai kya? Koi baat nahi, kha le. You have failed, huh? But you are eating, eat, no problem. So if somebody tells, you know, how much we can enjoy, how much can we eat? You know, the object of pleasure, the item are there, the laddu is there, sandesh is there, samosa is there, idli is there, appam is there, everything is there. But how much can we enjoy? You know, so the pleasure is not there in the laddu, the pleasure is not there in the kachori, the pleasure is not there in the appam, the pleasure is in the mind. Because somebody has told, okay, or somebody tells, Prabhu, you have got pink slip now. You know, how much can we eat? Nobody can eat anything actually. So mind is disturbed, so the pleasure is not there. Or if somebody insults while we are sitting and, you know, trying to eat something, if somebody actually insults with a very, very harsh word, can we eat that? We cannot eat actually. And also the last material pleasure, as far as it is concerned, it is stale. Stale means it has no taste. And the example is given that puna puna charvita charvanana, that we are actually chewing the same thing which is chewed again and again, again and again and again, like sugar cane, you know, which is put again and again in the machine. Finally, you don't get actually anything. Any juice will not come out, or it's like a chewing gum. You know, one person takes first, he gets some taste, chews, gives it to another person, he chews, gives another person, it gets transferred. How much taste will you have? You will not have any taste. So some material taste is actually stale. but still we want to enjoy it. So puna puna charvita charvana naam. And the last quality of pleasure is, as far as this is concerned, the material pleasure is flickering. And Govinda Das, he says, chapala sukhala balagire. This very nice famous bhajan which we sing, Bajahure man Srinanda Nandana. In that he says that chapala sukhala balagire. As far as this material pleasure is concerned, it is flickering in nature. You know, it's very, very chapal. You get only for few minutes. Like, it is said that because the time spent in pursuing the pleasure is more than the time spent in enjoying the pleasure. Example, now we work for whole 11 month in the office, then for 1 month we go for a vacation. Or a person who works for the whole week, at the end of the week, you know, he goes to try to enjoy some pleasure. And after enjoyment, you know, the frustration is there. And we see that so many objects, you know, we try, like for example, we want to eat something. So we try to eat nice pizza, pasta and all this thing. Then second day in the morning, you know, it's a problem. So sometimes the pursuit of pleasure gives actually pain. So we have to understand the six characteristics of material pleasure. This is number one, it is painful, it is addicting, it is risky, it is illusory, and it is stale. So if we take the first letter of this word, as Gaurang Prabhu says, it comes to P-A-R-I-S, Paris. So P stands for painful, A for addiction, R for risky, I for illusory, S for stale, Paris. And then it is flickering, fly. So Paris fly or fly to Paris. So if you want to remember this class or the material pleasure, we can remember fly to Paris. And then he said that what is the conclusion? You know, what is the real pleasure? And he said the conclusion of pleasure hunt is that we are hunting for pleasure at the wrong place with the wrong kind of weapons. Like for example, the pleasure is there, you know, but it is not there in this material world. It is there in the spiritual world. No, natad bhashate surya na shashanko na pavaka yad gatvan nivartante taddham paramam. So why did Lord comes here? It is said, like, you know, one time Devamrita Prabhu was giving this example that one person comes with a nice, you know, small camera. He charges 50 paise and then, you know, you look at the camera and he shows you many, many pictures. So these pictures, by looking at it, you know, we can imagine. Or sometimes this painting of ISKCON are like windows to the spiritual world. So there is a pleasure. We see that how Krishna is enjoying, you know, with all his sakhas, how the Lord is enjoying, all his devotees are enjoying, but that same enjoyment, we don't get it here. So the pleasure is there in the spiritual world, but we are looking at material world. So our condition is like we are hunting for fish in the forest instead of underwater. So we are climbing up the trees and we try to search for fishes. We will not get. And he gives one example that, for example, there is a lake, there is a river, and there is a tree on the bank of the river, and you see reflection of mangoes in the river, and you think, oh, the mangoes are there in the river. No, let me dive inside and have the mangoes. So you jump in the river, try to find the mango, but you don't find the mango, and you get bewildered. What is this? You know, I saw mango, nice, you know, beautiful yellow mango, but where the mangoes have gone? And you come out, and then somebody says, oh, you have not, you know, look for the mango. See, it is there. Go, dive again. So he goes, dives again, starts searching. And on top of it, he finds that there are 4 or 5 more people who are searching for the mangoes. So he thinks, I am not alone. You know, there are more people who are searching for this. So maybe I am right. I am correct. I am searching at the right place. And then he sees that there are many people who jump in the lake and starts finding for mango. And at that time, they have put up a book stall. How 10 sure ways of finding mangoes underwater. So they are selling the book. You know, they have put up a book table that, you know, how to find mangoes underwater. And you know, they are making, you know, film also now underwater so that people can get attracted. Where there is no pleasure. So it is said that, okay, you are not getting pleasure in the material world. Maybe actually you are not doing in the right way. You have not dived properly. You have not gone actually inside. Dive properly, go inside. Not finding pleasure in the sex life, maybe not doing, you are not doing in a proper way. 10 sure ways of doing it, 20 sure ways of doing it, 50 sure ways of doing it. And we get bewildered by this. And we think, oh, you know, I'm not doing it proper way. Actually, you know, there are other way. And then how all these books, like Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives very, very famous, nice example. He says, how to make friends and win people. You know, this was the book written by Dale Carnegie. So he was very attracted by that book and he was reading it because he was very poor in making friends. You know, before he came to Krishna consciousness, He said that I will not remember. So it is written, remember the birthdays, remember what they like, you know, all these things you remember. Then one day he got this news that Dale Carnegie actually jumped off from his New York skyscraper building from, you know, 50th floor or something like that. And that time he actually folded that book, threw in the dustbin. Why? Because he thought that the pursuit of death is so painful. It is written in Garuda Puran that 42,000 scorpio biting at a time. And the example is given when the scorpio bites, the person does not die because of poison. It dies because of pain. It is as if the hot charcoal is placed in the hand. So that person actually jumps and runs in the whole village and dies out of the pain. So the death is so painful. It is so, so painful that 42,000 scorpio not biting one after another at a time. So for Dale Carnegie, who is writing How to Win Friends and Influence People, probably he didn't have any friend to share his misery. Otherwise he would not have jumped actually. So he said that a person who is writing all this thing, what is the actually, you know, value of it? So, you know, all people they write how to make friends, how to win people, how to do this, how to do that. That all how does not work actually. So our hunt is going on at a wrong place with wrong weapon. The real pleasure is at the pleasure of soul. Anandamaya bhyasa. The soul is there. So we have to understand point number one, which Prabhupada again and again says that we are not this body, but we are the spirit soul. This is the first basic lesson of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita starts from that point. So we need to understand. And sometimes when Prabhupada was speaking like this, you know, some people thought in Africa, he said, maybe Swamiji is soul because he's saying, I am not this body, I am the soul, but we are the body only. So Prabhupada said, no, we have to understand. And one another disciple told Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, why again and again you are telling that we are not this body, we are the soul? You should tell something higher. And Prabhupada asked him, have you understood you are not the body? And he said, not exactly, Prabhupada. He said, therefore I am telling. First understand you are not this body, then the other things will follow. So when we understand that we are not this body, we are the soul, then you can inquire, we can inquire, Athato Brahma Jigyasa, you know, who am I, who is God, why I am suffering, I don't want suffering in this world, why I am pushed in this kind of situation, and always I am actually hunting for pleasure, why I am not hunting, why I am not getting the pleasure, because we are actually hunting at a wrong place. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is, the pleasure is there in the spiritual world. And this will be another topic, you know, to discuss. We will stop here. But the pleasure is there in the spiritual world. The Lord is there. He's full of, he's known as Rasaraj. You know, he's the giver of pleasure. You know, he's Ram. He gives all the pleasure. And then what we have to do is, we have to find the way of finding this pleasure properly. So we have to come in the association of devotees, chant our round very, very nicely. You know, surrender to one authority, surrender to Srila Prabhupada's book, understand the philosophy very, very nicely, and by doing this we will understand ultimately, and we will enjoy the pleasure. So this is you know, the conclusion, and now the time is up. So we would, you know, like to end our discussion here. If we chant the holy name of Krishna in proper association, take guidance from devotees, surrender to one authority, then we will be able to understand what is the real pleasure, and we will be able to go back home, back to Godhead, by chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, we have to remember that we are hunting at a wrong place with wrong weapon. We are hunting for the fishes in the forest. So we will not get fishes in the forest, we will get fish only in the water. So if we want to seek pleasure, we have to seek pleasure in the association of devotees, in the spiritual world, in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in Krishna, you know, Ramante Yogino Anante. So if we try to find pleasure in spiritual life, we will get real pleasure. Otherwise, the pursuit of pleasure will be, we will fly to Paris and will not get real pleasure. So instead of flying to Paris, where we have to fly? Jau Devacha Gavat. We have to fly to spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. I thank you very, very much for your patience. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
We thank His Grace Gauranga Prabhu originally.
Yes.
And now His Grace Asamut Prabhu. We want to repeat the words of advanced devotees. You know, in His request, some perfection. and in fact some of us have heard his lecture also, and Vasama Prabhu has exactly, perfectly repeated the words of his great Gauranga Prabhu. We thank Vasama Prabhu for